Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
I came across a quote the other day that troubled me. It was from Frederick William Robertson. He said, "There are three things in the world that deserve no mercy: hypocrisy, fraud, and tyranny." Some may disagree with his list, but I agree with this premise. There are some things in life that do not deserve mercy. Hello, my name is Ken Gurley, and all of this week on Daily Devotion, we're discussing things that could enhance your walk with God, your Christian leadership. Everything we think deserves mercy. Yet there are some things in life that do not. In fact, to show them mercy opens us up to grave error. Jesus called these three things leaven. And by calling them this, he points out the danger of them. What are the three leavens that deserve no mercy? First of all, let's look at leaven. Leaven is the substance used to produce fermentation in bread. Generally, a lump from leavened bread would be added to unleavened bread, and if the dough is left alone for a while, it will work its way throughout. When leaven is added to the dough, it creates carbon dioxide in air so that the bubbles trapped in the loaf causes the dough to rise. And that pretty much suggests why leaven is a type of sin in the Bible. Not just any sin, but a dangerous sin, because it puffs up, it spreads. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. In the Bible, leaven was a type of sin or evil or corruption. Jesus warned of three particular types of leaven, three leavens that enticed his followers. And those three leavens were so entwined with people and groups of people, these people were associated with the things that deserved absolutely no mercy. And you're going to see that John the Baptist and Jesus Christ showed no mercy to these three types of leaven, which indicate three attitudes, three sins that believers should avoid. So again, these three leavens were associated with people or groups of people: Herod, Sadducees, and the Pharisees. Let's go in that order. First of all, Jesus spoke about the leaven of Herod. In Mark 8, he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." Who was Herod? Several Herods are mentioned in the Bible. The Herodian dynasty came through a man named Herod Antipater. He was installed as governor in Rome by Julius Caesar. He, in turn, appointed two of his sons to be rulers. Herod the Great was one of those sons. Herod was an Edomite, a descendant of Esau. Herod would build a great temple for God, yet he would also build pagan temples. He would put the Roman eagle on the very porch of God's house, rendering to Caesar then what only belonged to God. Herod would flatter both Jew and Roman. He was a diplomat. He was unscrupulous, always playing both ends against the middle. Jesus had a word to say about Herod. He called him a fox in Luke 13. Like his forefather of old, Esau, he was a compromiser. The Bible called Esau a fornicator. He sold something precious for something very inexpensive, a birthright for a bowl of beans. What is the leaven of Herod that we need to avoid? It's the lure of compromise. Compromise is so incredibly powerful and disdainful to God. It prompted Elijah to ask, "How long will you halt between two opinions?" Jesus said, "You can't serve God and mammon." Napoleon once bragged that he had no such word as impossible in his dictionary, but Jesus did. He said it's impossible to live a life pleasing to God while all the while feeding the lower desires of the flesh. God is a jealous God. You can't say you love him and serve him while you're serving another lesser deity. When he is placed in the presence of any lesser deity, what we would call an idol, God demands to be worshiped solely, completely, in totality. It is said that compromise is the essence of politics. Yet the essence of godliness is something called convictions. Being convinced that God exists and he wants to be worshiped in a certain way. Compromise. It deserves no mercy. I'm not talking about people questioning their beliefs or people growing cold in the Lord. I'm talking about a system of thinking that begins to say, we must go along to get along. We must sell out the things that matter. We must exchange gold for fool's gold. Is it out there? Oh, yes, it is. But Jesus didn't tell me to judge Herod. He tells his followers, beware of this in your own life. Am I being faithful to God's investment in me? Am I being true to his calling? Wasn't this the problem of the Corinthian church? They thought they could worship God in the midst of fornication and sexual immorality. But Paul told them in 1 Corinthians 5, you do know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Beware of the leaven of Herod. Watch out for the lure of compromise. There's another leaven. It's the leaven of the Sadducee. We should show no mercy to this. In Matthew 16 and 6, Jesus said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So we have the leaven of Herod and now the leaven of the Sadducee. What is that? It's the lure of skepticism. The Pharisees and Sadducees were like the Republicans, Democrats of their day. I don't know. They were the two largest political groups in Christ's day. Unlike the Republicans and Democrats, they were also religious groups. The Sadducees were known for being the liberal elite in its day. Unlike the Pharisees, they didn't emphasize the entire Old Testament. They majored on those first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Torah. They also didn't believe in the traditions of the elders, those mind-numbing rabbinical commentaries and Kabbalistic teachings. But the leaven of the Sadducee did not rest there. It rested in a profound skepticism that leads to an absolute faithlessness. The Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in rewards or punishments after death. They didn't believe in a heaven or a hell. You see, the leaven of the Sadducees is the lure of skepticism, sort of a Missouri mentality of show me. It's the Thomas syndrome, to believe it, I must see it. It's exalting the natural over the supernatural and the rational mind over the mind of God. Jesus charged the Sadducees with two faults in Matthew 22. He said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. They anchored their faith on a portion of scriptures, not the totality of the word of God. And they also did not know or experience the power of God. They personally didn't believe that this rational mind of God would do anything so irrational as coming to earth and dying for man's sins. The Sadducees of the Bible ignored books of the Bible. And today's Sadducees do the same. They ignore books of the Bible, doctrines of the Bible, portions of the Bible. The lure of skepticism is to pay lip service to part of God's word, but to ignore other parts. Some people say, well, that's just not for us today. Not knowing the scripture, not knowing the power of God. These are people who redefine God's word and say miracles have ceased their modern day Sadducees. Accept this. Nothing is impossible with God. Accept it and believe it. Even when you can't understand it, God can do anything at any time in any way he desires. The writer of Hebrews said, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which were seen were not made of things that do appear. If the Bible says he created the world, you don't have to understand it, just believe it. If the Bible says Christ was born of a virgin, and it does, we don't have to understand it, just believe it. If the Bible says he parted the waters, and it does, we don't have to understand it, just believe it. If the Bible says he will supply all of our needs, then be careful of a skeptical attitude that says, I just don't know if God can do it. I don't know if he does that anymore. Skepticism masquerades sometimes as human wisdom. Some of the deadliest voices in our world are those that seem the most rational. that deny the power of God and sound so smart in doing it. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees, the lure of skepticism. But you may have noticed that when referencing the leaven of Herod, the leaven of Sadducees, Jesus mentioned to both the leaven of the Pharisees. Something about that leaven arrested Jesus' attention. For the leaven of the Pharisees is the deadliest of them all. It's the lure of hypocrisy. Luke 12. In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, he began to say, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. He said it first to the disciples and then to all. Watch out. Show no mercy to hypocrisy. I'm not talking about hypocrisy in others, but hypocrisy in ourselves. Show no mercy to that. Imagine a time when God's people had completely strayed from him. Imagine a group of people who were determined to go back to God, and they start by banning marriages with unbelievers. We know them as the Pharisees, the early forerunners, those who separated themselves. Many died defending the Jewish religion. They believed in the miraculous. They believed in one God. Over time, though, they became proud and arrogant. Jesus said they sat in the seat of Moses, pontificating and ruling. They added all of the so-called oral law of ceremonies and rituals, what the Bible calls the traditions of the elders. They took these commandments of men and exalted them above the commandments of God. Yet the leaven of the Pharisees was very simple. They were hypocrites. They were fake. They weren't real. They were actors. They promenaded across the stage of life, making certain that they were seen to be religious, but they were holy humbugs. They were copycats. They fashioned an image of what they thought a pious person to be, and then they copied it again and again in cookie-cutter fashion, one replica after another, each generation steadily worse than the previous. A holy person is not the one who copies another. It's the one who catches a vision of God and who allows that vision to live in them and transforms them, and they become holy in the sight of God. Jesus never condemned the Pharisees for obeying the laws of God. He did condemn them for overlooking the weightier matters of justice and mercy. Watch out for the leaven of Herod, that's compromise. Watch out for the leaven of the Sadducees, that's skepticism. Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees, that's hypocrisy. Don't look for them in others. Look for them in the man in the mirror. Watch out for yourself. Take heed to yourself. For if there is a truism that is true, we can more easily spot problems in others than in ourselves. Ask God to reveal in our own lives any compromise, skepticism, or hypocrisy, and be unsparing in addressing them. Show them no mercy, because that little old leaven is going to leaven the lump. This old leaven has got to be cut out of our lives so that the Spirit of the Lord can transform us into His image. Then compromise becomes commitment. Skepticism becomes confidence. And hypocrisy is transformed into transparency. That's God's plan for your life.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.